Shall we pray? Yeah, thank you, O Lord, for your goodness and your mercy that's new every morning, Lord. Thank you that, as you said in your word, you go before us, Heavenly Father, and you fight our battles, Heavenly Father. And so, Lord, we just want to say thank you right now, O Lord, and we want to welcome you here, Heavenly Father. Let your spirit take precedence here. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Yeah, I'm trying to relax right now because I'm really excited about what God has done. And this story is just amazing. It's one of my favorite stories. So I'll try not to skip to the end and just start with the beginning. As we know it, the Israelites were battling the Philistines. And the Philistines were trying to invade Israel, and they sort of set up camp on a mountain. And when the Israelites heard about this, the king and his soldiers set up on the opposite side of that mountain, or a separate mountain. So therefore, there was kind of like a valley between them. And for the enemy to go to the other side and fight the opposition, they had to go through this valley. But this valley was like a no man's land. So if you kind of like went through that valley, there's no way of you coming out because you're vulnerable, and the enemy could attack you easily from there. So it was kind of like a bit of like a stalemate that's happened. So they're like sort of like staring at each other from the mountains, looking at each other, and which just out of like, because my imagination runs wild, I thought of like how it escalated from a staring contest and it carried on from there. So it was like, so I just have this thought where these Philistines would come or be saying to the Israelites, so Israelites, you guys look hungry over there, you know, why don't you come over here and we'll give you some narco sandwiches, you know, and just you know, just come over here and let's get this over and done with. And then the Israelites will be back, will say back at them and say, yeah, no, that's not gonna happen. Why don't you guys come over and we'll give you high fives in the face, you know, we'll give you a high five in the face, you know, and send you back to where you came from. And this went back and forth, and then the Philistines were like, oh, okay. You heard what they said, Goliath. And then, boom, this guy comes up from behind. Giant, 6 foot, with 9 foot, with the bronze, everything, looking all swagged out and ready to fight, man. This guy has been, this is his forte. He loves to fight. And he comes up and he's like, okay, well, I'm a Philistine, and you guys are servants of Saul. Why don't we have a fight, a one-on-one fight? You get your champion and bring him out here, and we'll fight him. And the Israelites look at him and they were like, mm-mm. Went back to the king, and they went back and told him like, yo, there's this guy here, he's huge, and we need a champion. And Saul looked at this guy and he was like, there's no way I'm gonna fight him as a king as well, and he's just too big. And so the Goliath noticed this, and he started doing this every single day. You know, every morning he'll come out and say, hey, woo, among you wants to fight me, man. Let's fight, you know, let's get this over and done with. And if I win, then you're going to be our servants. And if we lose, we'll be your servants. And this happened a few more times. So for me, I wonder if maybe I might be the only one, but I've been in a position where the Israelites were, where like I've had something, I'm facing something and it's really mocking me and challenging me, challenging my faith, challenging who I am, and asking me, who do you have to fight for you? Like you're not strong enough and you don't have what it takes to take me on. And I'll come every morning and I'll ask you the same question until you answer me. And it's a very heavy place to be because there's hopelessness. You feel hopeless, you feel disheartened, and you feel defeated. And you're like, man, what am I going to do? And this is the part where it gets really exciting for me, because then this is just half of the story. The best part is about to happen, and my wife is going to take it from there.
The best part. I just want to touch on what Kennedy was saying about giants, about the size of Goliath, about what David was actually taking on. This guy, as Kennedy said, was 9 foot tall. His armor, his breastplate armor alone, weighed 125 pounds. Now, to put that into context, that's 14 of my son. That's 14 Zions, and I can't even hold him for longer than 10 minutes, just him alone. So the armor alone on Goliath was really, really heavy. And yet there was no doubt in David's mind that he would defeat Goliath with God on his side. He had zero doubt whatsoever. It says in 1 Samuel 17, verse 32, that David told Saul, "Don't worry about this Philistine, I'll go and fight him." Just so relaxed and laid back, didn't seem bothered by anything at all. My phone's locked. And even when Saul said that he was ridiculous and called him a little boy and said he had no army training in verse 33, David just shrugged it off. And he was not fazed by that at all. His brothers questioned him. And in Samuel 17, verse 34 to 36, it said, "But David persisted. 'I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats,' he said. 'When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death.'" So, you know, he has been in the space where he's actually had to fight giants in the form of animals, lions and bears, and he hasn't been bothered by it. He knows that God is going to hook him up. He knows that God is going to help him kill Goliath. He knows that he doesn't have to fear his life. And it says in Samuel 17, verse 37, "The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from the Philistine." So that just confirms to me that we can trust God every day with everything, as David did. I want to have faith like David. I want to be in a space where I can trust God with everything, all the time, every day. Whether those things are small, as Anna said, they're still big in our heart. Whether those things are big things like anxiety or depression, God is in control of those things as well. And it's not just when we're struggling, yeah, with the big things. It's all of the stuff, all the time, every day. God loves us so much. He loves us so much. And he gives us the authority and the confidence to actually go out every day in our life and take on these things that come and challenge us. David became a champion, not in his own right, not by himself, but because he had God on his side, because he had a relationship with God. And I guess that's what it boils down to, really, doesn't it? Where is our relationship with God? What does it look like? Are we allowing him to be in control? Do we hand over control to God in every aspect? I'm talking about when you wake up in the morning. That's God allowing you to wake up in the morning. Do we thank him for that? Do we allow him to take control over those aspects of our lives? When I'm a bit stubborn, which is often, and I'm wanting to be in control, and you know, the sorts of words that come out of my mouth to God, why should I give you control? Why? I can do it better myself. And sometimes I genuinely think I can do it better myself. Then I'm reminded of this. Do you think God wanted his son to suffer? Do you think God wanted his son to suffer so that he would just ignore us? So that he wouldn't love us? Not rescue us, allow us to drown, to be burned up and have things consume us? Of course not. So then I give myself a talking to, remind myself of the countless times God has rescued me, and I familiarize myself with verses. There's one verse in particular in Isaiah 43, actually it's five verses, that when I face giants, I mean, we went through a two-year battle to get Kennedy into the UK. we lived apart for, I don't know, too long than a married couple should live apart for. That for us together was our huge giant that we faced. And Isaiah 43 keeps coming back to me. The one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. Ransomed you, meaning what? Meaning that he put his son on the cross to die for us. I can't even imagine sending Zion to die for our sins, but that's what God did for us. He ransomed us. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as a ransom for your freedom. I gave Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Others were given in exchange for you. I traded their lives for yours because you are precious to me. Not I alone, you, all of us, are precious to God. You are honored and I love you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. That verse gives me courage to stand up and fight. Doesn't matter how tall Goliath is. Doesn't matter how heavy the armor he's wearing. Doesn't matter what it looks like in your life. God can give you that courage, that authority to stand and say, you are defeated. The battle is won because God, my Father, loves me and wants to protect me. There's a song we're going to listen to in a minute that myself and Kennedy really felt as a response song, as a song that will encourage us. The chorus says, you are my champion. Giants fall when you stand, undefeated, every battle you've won. And I feel like it all just links in so wonderfully with the worship songs. I don't know who chose that. If they knew what we were sharing on, Anna, with the word that she shared and her encouragement, it all just ties together. And there's some real truths in this song that we need to believe every moment of every day. And I really hope that you can take the time to listen to those words, sing along if you know it, and respond. You want to say something?
Yeah, just to add on to that, just with the many testimonies that we've shared now, I feel like it's calling out to, God is calling out to someone now, saying to them, look, I love you, and I want to get to know you. And if you haven't met him yet, and if you'd like to have a relationship with him, during the song, I believe the elders and even me and Sarah will be around, and we can pray with you and just lead you into a wonderful relationship with the champion. And this is not a champion that's just far-fetched and he's 2,000 years ago. He's 2,000 years away. He's here right now, and he's with us, and he's within us. And he wants to have a relationship with you. So that's for the one person that I have a word for. And for the other is, there are giants out there. And a lot of people struggle with those things. But I want you to know that God is always going to be there with you. And he wants to be with you. And he wants you to take your burdens and leave it at his feet. And he wants to bring you into his embrace and remind you that he loves you. So while the song is playing, if you are one of those two people, please find someone, one of the elders, and just respond to that call.